Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Let me just stop. We're still talking about prayer. Okay, he's still talking about prayer here. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, though he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Together in verse 13. Ready? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, all these verses are dealing with prayer, and we'll come back to them and look at several different aspects of it. But right now, we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to jump into our message. Father, do pray that you would bless our time here. We've sang some songs, lifted our voice in praise to you. We heard a beautiful special, a beautiful offertory. Lord, we tried to organize some things going on in our church. But now, Lord, we put all those things aside, turn our attention to your word, and ask that you speak to our hearts. Help us in these things, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we think about prayer this morning, I think we'd all agree with this, that prayer is the thing that every believer knows he needs to do. If you're a born-again believer, if you sit here this morning and you say, I know Christ is my Savior, I knew I was a sinner, I knew I was headed for hell, I turned to Christ, opened my heart, asked Him to come to my heart and wash my sins away, I'm not trusting a church, I'm not trusting a priest, I'm not trusting some good work, I'm trusting Christ, and Christ alone is my Savior. That's what we're talking about. If you're a truly born-again believer, I believe this, that you know that you need to pray. I don't have to convince you of it. There are some things we may say, well, I don't know about that, and I don't know about this or that. But when it comes to prayer, everyone who's a true believer says, boy, I need to pray. I just, whether you pray or not is not the question. I'm just saying, you know you need to. Now, conversely, so it's the thing we all know we need to do. Conversely, it's the thing that many of us as believers feel like we fail at. If I ask you, give you a list and say, what are the things in your Christian life you really just don't really do well? Somewhere near the top of that list, maybe at the very top of that list, is going to be prayer. We struggle with it. We don't know what to say, how to say it, afraid to say the wrong thing, don't do it enough, don't do it often enough, don't do it consistently enough. We struggle with it. Every believer struggles with prayer. None of us, I would say this, there's probably no one in this room who says, yep, got it taken care of. Figured it out. I'm a great prayer warrior. Probably no one in this room. In fact, my guess is you probably never met a believer who feels that way. Prayer is a very humbling thing. When you're thinking about praying, you're thinking about the Lord, it humbles us, and we all struggle to some extent with it. Now, sometimes we fail because there's an unwillingness to pray. And that maybe, not that we don't know we need it, but we don't know how to do it. We don't know when to do it, or we just, whatever, there's an unwillingness for some hiccup in our life. And sometimes we fail because there's maybe a half-hearted attitude. You know, where we just kind of have a bunch of words on paper and we say, you know, kind of like we're watching TV. Yeah, Lord, bless this. Oh, yeah, bless this and bless this and, oh yeah, and bless these things Okay, yeah, we're done. What's going on here? And it's almost like we give it a half-hearted attention. We don't really think about what we're praying. We don't feel like it really, okay, I just say a bunch of words. It kind of bounces off the ceiling. Really don't know if it does any good. And so we've kind of half-hearted. Now, what I believe this morning, though, as well, I believe that if we, as we look at Luke 11, that we would echo what these early disciples are saying. Go back with me. Look at Luke 11. Notice what they're saying to Jesus. And I'd point out that this is something we all struggle with and have struggled with even since the time of Jesus. And it came to pass, verse 1, that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, in other words, they knew He knew something about prayer. They knew that He was a prayer warrior. They knew He got His prayers answered. When He ceased, one of the disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. What they said is, Lord, that's what we want. We want to pray. We want answers of prayer. We want to get a hold of God. We want this to be real in our life. And I think this morning, all of us who are truly born-again believers would echo exactly what these disciples are saying. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, let me shift gears off of that and give you a little bit more foundation before we get to the main application. Prayer, I'm going to hit this statement later in the message, but I'm going to give it to you early as well. Prayer is God's prescribed way for God to meet the needs of His people. We'll say it again, because this has got to sink in, because prayer is not just something we do because, well, I'm a Christian, I just got to pray. No, there's a reason we pray. Prayer is God's prescribed way. It's His way. It's how He has set it up. Prayer is God's prescribed way for God to meet our needs. In other words, what God is saying is this, I have things you need, and how you're going to get these things is through prayer. I mean, go back with me. Look at chapter 11. Look at verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. Now, without doing any harm to Scripture, here I think is what the Lord is saying. Ask. Now, there's, and it would take multiple messages on prayer to do prayer justice and even closely. But there is the aspect here of asking, and it should be given. Which means, if we don't ask, it's not given. Now, think about that. There are some things that the Lord wants to give you that you will not get because you don't ask. Does that ever occur to you? You say, well, how come the Lord hasn't done X? Have you ever asked the Lord to do X? If you've never asked Him, why is there an expectation that He would do it? He says, ask, and it shall be given. Here's a very famous verse in the book of James, James chapter 4. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain, ye fight in war. Now look at the end of this verse. Yet ye have not, why? Because ye ask not. Maybe the number one reason we do not have answers to prayer, now watch this, this is deep. Ooh, boy, I went 8 years of Bible college to figure this out. This is deep. The number one reason we don't have answers to prayer, we have no prayers to answer. If God answers our prayers, and we have zero prayers, guess how many answers we get? Zero. So if we're not praying, there's not going to be any answer. So here's how what the Bible is explaining. That prayer is how God brings about meeting the needs of His people. Now, you say, well, why do I got to ask? Doesn't God know? Yeah, He knows. He knows now what you're going to need tomorrow. You don't know, but He knows. Let me show you a verse. Matthew 6. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of, watch, before ye ask Him. So we're not informing God of our needs. So why do we have to ask? If God has the needs, the fulfillment of those needs, He knows what we need. How come I have to ask? Why is it, Pastor White? If I don't ask, I don't receive. Why is that? Well, there's probably multiple reasons. And we're trying to stay in one vein here and not get all a bunch of different trails and we'll never get anything accomplished. But let me give you two big thoughts that'll get us into where we're going here in just a moment. One of the big reasons that God wants you to pray as a way to get what you need. Now watch this, because prayer changes you. Remember that verse we saw in James? He says, in fact, I can go back to it. This is the magic of technology. Hopefully, the magic of the pushing the right button as well. If it doesn't work, blame Doug. Now watch this. Ye have not, and ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. Now we'll see another verse about this in a little bit. What he's saying is this. All you're doing is you want what you want. You're lusting, you're desiring. You want bigger cars and bigger houses and bigger paychecks and bigger vacations and more and more and more. But that's not what the Lord wants. There's something different than what the Lord wants to do in your life. And the reason that he says ask, because when you go before the Lord, how can you go before the Lord and say, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me? Somewhere in the line, something should kick in and say, Lord, is that all life is about? More and more and bigger and bigger? Gotta have, gotta have, gotta have. Isn't there something more to life? See, prayer begins changing us, begins making us really think what the needs are. So the Lord says, I have what you need, I know what you need, but you've got to ask to get what you need. And part of that is because time with God changes us. Remember Moses went on the mountaintop? He was there 40 days. When he came down, he put a veil over his face because his face was glowing. Why was his face glowing? Because when you're around the Lord, it changes you. And that's part of praying. It changes us. Here's a verse in the Bible about it. Romans, let me go back forward now. Here's Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Watch this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which we cannot be uttered. In other words, as we spend time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit begins revealing things and helps us to pray as we ought. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It begins changing our prayers, changing really how we look at things. And I think there's another big reason, and that is this. If all it was, if the only thing that God did had this big like salt shaker and just kept pouring out blessings, and we just walked around like this, we'd forget who's given us those blessings. Now, we still do, but we'd even do it even more. We start saying, look at all I got, instead of saying, look what all the Lord has done. So the Lord wants us to pray because he wants us to recognize the source of these things. Who's giving us? Who's meeting these needs? The Lord is doing these things. James says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. So all these things come from him. Now, as we get now ready to apply some truths to our lives, the focus this morning is not why we should pray. That's a whole other message in itself. But the focus this morning is, what happens when we pray? What happens when we pray? Go with me to Psalms 18. Often I put all the verses up there, but this one I want you to turn to, because this is the place I want you to see, and it's be a good place to mark in your Bibles. Psalms is about in the middle of the Bible. Psalms, I've quoted this at a couple messages ago. I was reading these verses and the Lord really spoke to my heart about this. It really encouraged me but convicted me at the same time, like the Lord has ways of doing. I want you to see it with me. Psalms 18 is where we're going to. I want you to notice what happens, and then we're going to apply some things to our lives. So why should we pray? Well, it changes us. Why should we pray? Well, we remember who the blessings come from. But really the focus is, what happens when we pray? In Psalms 18, look at verse number 6. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. In other words, he heard my prayer. Now watch what happens. Then, he heard my prayers, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations off of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. The Lord's responding now. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomforted them. Then the channels of the water were seen. The foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. You know what he's saying? When we pray, here's what happens. God moves heaven and earth to do what he needs to do in your life. Because here's what he says. It's just too big. There's nothing too big for God. I don't know all that may go on in your life. I'm going to tell you this, that in answer to prayer, there's nothing that God cannot do for you that he wants to do for you according to his will. That's why we pray. We say, well, this is why, but really why we pray is what happens when we pray, and that is you get a hold of God and God moves heaven and earth to help his people in response to their prayers. That's why we ought to be serious about prayer. That's why it should consume us. That's why we should be concerned about it. That's why we should be thoughtful. That's why we should learn about it. That's why we should want to do it. Why? Because prayer gets hold of God. Prayer may not change the government. Prayer may not change your boss. But prayer can get hold of God, and God can do great things beyond what you can even imagine, what you can think, what even can come into your mind. So that's why we pray. Because prayer moves heaven and earth. God moves heaven and earth in response to his people's prayers. Now, if we're going to be serious about prayer, now we're going back to Luke 11. If we're going to be serious, if we want the Lord to respond, we want the Lord to act on our behalf based on his will, then what would this require? How would this work out? Three things I want to mention to you from our text. Now we're going to try to apply it now to our lives. Three things here. Number one is this. We're going to be serious about praying. Okay? Serious praying requires a time and a place. So why did I say that? Well, go back with me to Luke 11. And notice what the Bible says here in Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples. In other words, this was a common occurrence. This wasn't something strange to them. And so they're waiting for him to finish his prayer time, as it were. Now, when we're serious about something, when something is serious to us, we will make a place and a time for it to happen. Let me give you an example. In your home, okay, most of the time, when it's bedtime, we're serious about sleeping. In your home, you have a place for it, do you not? Well, you probably have many places for it, but it just kind of depends where you conk out. But there's one specific place in your home. In fact, every home that's made has these in them. Guess what they're called? Bedrooms. It's a place that we go when we're sleeping because we want to be serious. We have a bed. We have it all set up. We have it put aside so we know where to go. In our homes, we have places to eat. Could be a dining room, could be a kitchen, kitchenette, whatever. But there's a table there. And when it's time to eat, we know where to go. We have a place to go to eat. Now, we can go over and over. We can just keep on using this analogy. But here's a question. In our homes, where is the place we have to go to pray? Well, it's not serious. We're more serious about eating and sleeping than we are about praying. That's really what it boils down to. We don't have a place. We need to have a place and a time. For example, if I ask you, most of you, I'd say, well, what time should you be at work? You say, okay, I gotta be at work X time. What time typically do you go to bed? I go to bed X time. Some of you for TV, you tell me your favorite show, what time does it come on? It comes on at that time. We have time for all these things. But what time do we have set aside for prayer? Now I'm gonna give you a statement. I want you to think very carefully about this statement. Prayer that occurs whenever and wherever occurs hardly ever. I'll say it again. Prayer that occurs whenever and wherever occurs hardly ever. If our prayer time and our prayer place is, well, I'll just find a time sometime and I'll find a place somewhere. Let me tell you, you don't have anything to tell me anything else. I can just tell you this, you don't have much prayer. Your prayer life is pretty non-existent. Because if I ask you, hey, where, if I went to your house and said, hey, where's your bedroom? You say, right there. Where's your kitchen? Right there. Where's your bathroom? Over there. Where's your prayer closet? What time do you go to work? That time. What time do you usually go to bed? That time. What time do you pray? See, if we're going to be serious about praying, we need to have a time and a place. It just ain't going to happen unless we're serious about it. Notice this. The disciples asked Jesus about prayer because they knew He prayed. They knew He was serious. If you went to someone, okay, who knew nothing about cars, you probably wouldn't ask them about cars. But if you went to someone who knew something about cars, you'd say, hey, you know something about cars, I need some help here. Why would they go to Jesus? Because they knew He knew something about praying. They knew He had places. They knew He had times. They knew He was serious about it. Over and over again, we'll just stay in the book of Luke. Over and over again, it talks about this. Luke 6, it came to pass in those days that He, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Luke 9, it came to pass as He was alone praying, His disciples were with Him. They knew about this. Luke chapter 9 again, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain to pray. They're knowing this. This describes Jesus. Luke 22, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and He kneeled down and prayed. They knew He was serious about praying. They had times of prayer. They had places of praying. So I'll tell you again this morning, you will not have a successful prayer life until you set aside a time and a place to do it. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. I'm not trying if you're struggling with prayer, I'm not trying to just, make it even harder on you. I'm trying to encourage you. You know what? You can get hold of God. If you're a child of God, you can get hold of God. So, I'm not a very good person. I'm not a very good Christian. I don't come to church much. I have these. Okay, that's not the point. The point is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you do, then you have access to the throne of grace. Well, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I knew so-and-so, and boy, they came from a godly home, and their moms and dads are Christians, their grandparents are Christians, and they're Christians, and boy, I know God hears their prayers. You know why He hears their prayers? Because they're Christians. Are you a Christian? Are you a born-again believer? Then God hears your prayers. People say, well, preacher, I want you to pray for me because I know God hears you. Well, I hope that's true because I'm a born-again believer. But if you're a born-again believer, He hears you just as well as He hears me. Let's say Bill's praying. And I start praying. God doesn't go, I want to hear Pastor White's prayers. That's not how it is. God is just as interested in Bill's prayers as He is mine. That's why we ought to be serious. We need a time. We need a place. God wants to hear from you. God has your needs. We need to be serious about this. It doesn't matter how much you believe in prayer. Ah, Pastor White, I believe in prayer. Great. It doesn't matter how much you know about prayer. Pastor White, I got a whole library on prayer. Great. You say, Pastor White, I tell everyone they need to pray. Great. But that's not the same as praying. And if you don't have a time and a place and making it happen, it ain't happening. I encourage you right now, think. In your own life, where can you go and get alone and pray? You can't pray and watch TV. It ain't gonna happen. You can't pray and Facebook. It ain't gonna happen. You need a place alone, a quiet place alone. We call it a prayer closet. When I was a kid, my preacher preached about prayer closet. I'm always thinking, I don't want to pray in my closet. There's no room in my closet. Okay, it's not a literal closet. That's just a phrase we use. It means a quiet place for you to go. For when I was a kid, it was up in the hills. I lived in West Virginia. When I was in college, it usually was on the far side of the lake, or I had a little spot where the bowling alley was and a little cubbyhole no one knew about, and because it was kind of out of the way. That was the place. And in the morning, it was quiet because it didn't have the bowling alley open until the evening. You got to find a place, and you got to find a time, and you got to just keep at it. If we're serious, then we need to have a place and a time. Number two, serious praying requires a plan of action. I think when we get number one down, number two is where we struggle. Okay, here's the time, here's the place, I'm going to pray, ready? Now what? Oh, Lord, bless me, my family, missionaries, all the children of the world. Help me be a good boy. Bless this food. Help me have a good day. Wow, this praying is hard, man. What the hell do I pray for? Okay, we need a plan. What constitutes a prayer life? What constitutes a prayer? It's not just chanting. It's not just repeating the same words again and again. It's not like some ritualistic, a quoted prayer that we just, it's not like counting beads or the same prayer, quoting it again and again. That's not, there is a plan though God has for us. He outlines it starting in verse 2. We call this the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer, the lesson on prayer. It's not the only place it is. I think it's also in Matthew. But we're going to look at it in Luke. And notice Luke chapter 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, say. Now he's going to instruct them. Here's what you say when you're praying. And we'll go over that in just a moment. Now, let me again encourage you. If you already have you have your time, you have your place. I'm not saying, not that you're proud or you think you got it figured out, but you're pretty good at it, consistent at it, that's what I mean. If that's you, great. If it's working for you, great. But if this morning, if you're, yeah, but not really. Okay, you've got some struggles about praying. If you're first starting or trying to get it started, probably a good time period is about 15 minutes. No, Pastor Rod, I'm going to pray for an hour. You pray for 5 minutes, you'll think it's an hour. 15 minutes is a long time just to pray. I'm just telling you. Now, it's not, maybe you can go from there. Just put aside about 15 minutes. Most people, after they prayed for the 5 minutes, thinking they've been there all day. So pray for 15 minutes. Now, I'm going to give you an outline from our verses here in Luke 11. An acrostic. I'm going to just tell you up front the best way to make it happen. Okay? Little teachy here. Get a timer. I use my phone. Phone's back there. I use my phone. I have a timer. I set it for 3 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on what guard is. So I set my timer. For you, I'd set it for just 3 minutes. There are, in this, is 4 sections. I do mine a little different. I've been at it a little bit longer. Okay, but this is 4 sections. Set your timer. Do each section for 3 minutes. 3, 6, 9, 12. You'll probably go over a little bit, some here and there. That's about 15 minutes. Do 3 minutes in each section. When the timer goes off, you're done. Okay? Point, you're done. Move on to the next section. Now, trust me on this. There's some wisdom here. You'll say, no, I'll just keep praying for 15 minutes in one section. No, you won't. You'll end up getting out of sorts and it won't. It's better if you just do 3 minutes a section. I'm telling you, it works better that way. I would have a pencil, paper, something you're writing on, something you're writing with. Have your timer. And let me give you the 4 things. I would divide my prayer life into 4 sections, 3 minutes each. Let me show you what I mean by it. And I would use the word pray, P-R-A-Y, each letter representing another section. Go with me to Luke 11, verse 2. Let me explain. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, notice the first thing, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first thing I would do is, with the letter P, I would start with praise and thanksgiving. I would just start for 3 minutes. In fact, maybe you could just get a piece of paper and just write down all the things you want to praise the Lord about. You can say, Lord, I praise you that you love me. Lord, what else? His mercy, his grace. These are the things he are. And then some of the things he does. Lord, my health, I can put that down there. My family. You can just start writing things now. Maybe a minute. That's about all the time. And then just spend some time. Say, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you that you love me. Thank you're a loving God. Thank you're a wise God. Lord, thank you that you know all things, that you're above all this goofy stuff that goes in the world. But Lord, you're above that. You know everything that's happening. I can trust you in these things. Just start for about 3 minutes. Just pour out your heart in praise and thanksgiving. What it does, it gets your heart ready, really. To really ask the Lord for some things. It kind of changes your perspective of some things as well. So spend about 3 minutes, praise and thanksgiving. Then notice what happens next, what Jesus says. Go back to Luke 11. Hallowed be thy name. Then he says this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. We'll come back to that, because we're going to try to stay with the acrostic. And then look down to verse number 4. And forgive us our sins, For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the second one. P, second letter is R. Repentance. Ask God to search you. Anything you need to confess. Now, I'll be honest. Be careful about writing things down. I am. If I write something down, I tear it in a little bitty piece of paper, put it in the toilet, and flush it. Okay? All my sins are gone. Jesus has forgiven them, and no one else needs to know about them. Repentance. Ask God to search you for anything you need to confess. See, things like bitterness, anger, jealousy, pride, gossip, theft, worry, shame. Maybe you're ashamed of speaking about the Lord, ashamed to talk about the Lord. Shame, worldliness, fear, impurity, dishonesty, whatever it may be. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, search me, try me. What are the things I've done against you? Lord, I'm sorry for this, Lord. Forgive me for this, Lord. Wash me with the blood of Jesus, Lord. I don't want to be that way. Pour out your heart. Tell Him. Say, boy, the Lord might be shocked. He knows all about you. He knows more about your sin than you know about it. Let me tell you, it's kind of scary sometimes when you say, Lord, is there something in my life that's not right? Lord, I answer that prayer. And then you're like, wow, forgot about that. Whoa, Lord. Boy. Okay, hold on, Lord. You're coming too fast. You know what I mean? Oh, Lord, forgive me for that. So you have to start asking the Lord. Repentance. Pour out your heart. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and cleansing. About 3 minutes. Now let's go back again to our text, Luke 11. Give us day by day our daily bread. Okay, give us day by day our daily bread. This is really what we think about prayer, and that's ask. Ask the Lord. What is it you need? Got issues with money? Ask the Lord. Got issues with other people? Ask the Lord for help. New wisdom. You got some issues at work? Whatever it may be. You got maybe a health issue? Whatever. Just say, Lord, here is... Now, I've already praised Him. I've already tried to confess Him and ask the Lord to cleanse me. And then I just say, Lord, here's some things going on in my life. I really need your help here. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom about these things. Lord, help me to know how to deal with this situation. You got an issue with your child? Ask the Lord for His help. You got an issue with a spouse? Ask the Lord for His help. You got an issue at work? Ask the, whatever it is, ask the Lord. Pour out your heart. Lord, this is my daily need. This is what I need. Pray for your family. Pray for friends. Pray for the church. Pray for our country. Ask the Lord. Spend about 3 minutes. Just, you say, that's not very long. You can get a lot said in 3 minutes. Just keep pouring out your heart. Lord, please hear and be sincere and pour out your heart. And let me give you the last one. P-R-A-Y, and Y stands for yield. Luke 11 verse 2 says this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. When I get done with my prayer time, I usually say something like this. I don't like to reveal too much because you pray a lot. It's a very personal thing. And so it's something like this. I say, Lord, here's what I'm asking, but Lord, you do whatever is right in my life. I don't really know what. Here's what I think I need, but you know what I need. Your will be done. Lord, I surrender these things. I'll say something like this. Lord, if there's something I forgot, Holy Spirit, would you add it? Something I shouldn't have asked for, would you take it away? If there's something I asked for, it wasn't exactly right, can you change it to make it what it should be? Lord, I submit all my prayers to you. And then when I get ready to say amen, I say this. Lord, I know how you heard my prayers. Lord, I am your child. I came to the throne of grace. I know that you heard me. I know that you're going to answer. I'm not sure what the answer is going to be, but I know you're going to answer. And Lord, I thank you even now for what you're going to do. I yield, I surrender, I just give it all to the Lord. Now, everyone in this room, teenager or up, can have a successful prayer life if you just follow a simple plan like that. That's 12, 15 minutes. And you can spend some quality time with the Lord, seeking His help, seeking His face. So if we're serious about praying, it requires a place and a time. If we're serious about praying, it requires a plan of action. Here's the last thing, number three. If we're serious about praying, it requires a sincere faithfulness. As essential as it is having a time and place, and as essential as it is to have some type of plan of action, none of it will matter if we're just hitting this. If there's not a sincere faithfulness. You know what success in praying sounds like? Let me tell you what it sounds like if you're going to be successful. Ready? I can illustrate it for you. Here's what it sounds like. This is not success. You asked one time last week. 3 weeks from now, you ask again. A month later, you ask, oh, yeah, I haven't prayed for a month. That's not success. Success is every day knocking on the door of heaven, beseeching the throne, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I need. That's what the Lord blesses. That's what... Go back with our text. Look at Luke 11. Look at verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend and go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. This is what I need. For a friend of mine, his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Bug off. Leave me alone. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. You know what that is? The guy goes, hey, I need 3 loaves. Get out of here. Shut the door. Hey, I need 3 loaves. I told you to leave me alone. Hey, I need 3 loaves. Don't you get the message? I'm not going to do it for you. Hey, I need 3 loaves. Okay, fine. You have your bread. And notice what it says. Give him as many as he needeth. He didn't stop at 3. Whatever. 10, 20. Just leave me alone. Now, if you go down, notice what it says here. Okay, not that the Lord doesn't want to do this. He says this in verse 13. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father? What he's saying is, it's not that you're having to convince God. What he's saying is, it's that sincere faithfulness, that continual praying. The Lord begins working in our prayer life, helping us understand what we should be praying for, changing our hearts, changing our desires. That long process allows the Lord to give us that answer he has for us. What we want to do is this. We want to say, and walk away. And the Lord says, what is that about? Come back here. Spend some time. Let me help you with this. There's a sincere faithfulness that's required if we're going to be serious about praying. You just can't give up one time and just throw it out there and it didn't work. No, it works. You're just not working it. Sincere faithfulness is a key to God's blessing. And sincere faithfulness is what allows them. Watch, let me skip, because for the sake of time, I'm going to skip a verse and go to this verse. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all your heart. But it usually doesn't start that way. Our heart's full of all the things it wants. But over a period of time, our heart has changed as we spend time with the Lord, and it purifies our motives. James 4 says this, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So we have to ask for a while, a lot of times, so we have the right motives in these things. Let me give you several statements. We're going to come to our invitation time. First statement is this. Prayer, again, here's the same statement I gave you earlier. Prayer is God's prescribed way for God to meet the needs of His people. Here's a second statement. Prayer is the believer's way to receive their needs from the Lord. And here's the third statement. Prayer is open to every believer who will be serious about praying. I'll give you one illustration, one verse, and we're done. My brother, who's 4 years younger, reminded me of this the other day, well, a month or so ago. He called me, and I had forgotten about this story, but he reminded me, and he said, I remember this story from... And it's happened. I was 16, he was 12. I'd long forgotten it, but he said, I've never forgotten this story. Let me tell you the story. When we lived on the farm, you go down the hard road, 2 lanes. You go off to the gravel road, which starts out as 2 lanes and soon becomes a lane and a half. And less. And so you go down this gravel road, and then you take a right on a not-so-graveled road, and you go up a hill, and as you go, it starts out a lane and a half and starts, again, shrinking until you get to the top of the hill. It's about 1 lane. It goes over the hill, and it's kind of a hard, dirt-packed road going down to our farm, single lane. Now, that's not bad enough, but you're going up a hill and then over a curve, and it's all 1 lane, and there's people coming both ways. That's West Virginia. Great engineering. Now, I'm in my mom's blue pickup. At this time, when I was 16, we are back in Maidsville because there's some issues at the farm, but we're going back there every day, my brother and I, feeding the animals and watering the crops and all that great, glorious work. Okay, so that's our job. So we're going down there, down the hard road, down the gravel road, up over the hill, coming around the curve, and some guy who doesn't know how to, unlike me, did not know how to drive, comes flying up the hill. It's a single lane road. That's exactly what I said. Oh, no. I'm coming around the curve, and I get around the curve, and this is a car right there. So that car veers to one side, and over there had like a little ditch, not too bad, and then there's some trees. So he swerved around me. I'm in my mom's, on this side is a big dip like this, a big ditch. I go off the road, four-wheeling, he goes by me, I stop, and I'm stuck in a ditch. I have no idea what I've done to the truck. My younger brother immediately goes to panic mode. We're dead. Okay. We're dead! Okay, that's panic mode. We crawl out on my side. He's yelling and screaming at me, "Don't you know how to drive?" I'm yelling. I'm speaking very loving terms. "My dear brother, let me tell you, I'm about to rip your head off. Peace be with you." Okay, so he's panic mode. "Oh, I can't believe this. You ruined the car. Mom's going to kill us. Boy, I'm only 12. I'm not going to live." He's at the back of the truck yelling and screaming at me. He turns. Now, I'll tell you how he describes it. He turns and he looks at me. I'm in the front of the truck at the other end. Why? Because he's at that end. That's why I'm at this end. And he said, "I see your head is bowed. I can see your lips moving." He said, "I knew you were praying." And then he starts yelling some more. "Don't you know that ain't gonna help? We're dead! Pray! Give it up! We're dead! God doesn't care! Prayer won't help!" And he said, as soon as those words came out of his mouth, our neighbor lived a little bit further down, and his truck, who's normally at work, came up around the curve, saw us, got out and said, "Hey, hang on guys," got his chain, pulled us right out. He said, my brother went around, looked inside the truck, he said, there was not even a scratch, nothing, it was perfect, it didn't get hurt at all. He got to know my brother, he's like, "Oh, okay, let's go now." Now he said, he always remembered that. Now here's why I'm bringing you that illustration. If God would be concerned, and at the time, me and my brother both were saved people. If God would be concerned about a couple of teenagers whose truck is stuck in a ditch, don't you think God is concerned about your needs? Say, well, God would answer the prayer of a 16-year-old? If he's God's child, he would. Just like he'd answer your prayer. Hebrews 4 says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Look at verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." We have a Lord who beckons us to His throne, so we may receive all that He has for us.